And it's a job. I mean, it's as simple as that. We all have a job here. I got to stand up and talk, and you got to respond. So first thing I want you to respond to is the fact that my lovely daughter and our lovely secretary, in case you don't know, had Emiliano in Texas this last week. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, we get this text. I think my water broke. Aha! So they were in Juarez. Border, ambulance, the whole thing. So he was born in El Paso, Texas. And now he is driving back, along with the whole crew and Andrew at the wheel. And they should arrive here sometime today, I'm hoping. Talk about a kid with a story to tell. He's just going to have fun with that story. At least, yeah, no, yeah, trust me, he will. I know his grandfather. So, I had a question I asked you guys. Some of you got the email. Some of you didn't get the email. Some of you listened last week. Someone told me this morning, when you asked for the most generous person that I knew of, I thought you said the most famous person. We were talking about Hollywood stars and stuff last week. So I had this whole list of famous people. I really didn't know anybody, but it's generous. Now that made sense. And so I just kind of want to give a little bit. Well, first of all, you need to understand some of these statistics. First of all, I got a lot of responses, and I want you to understand the women are ahead by a ratio of 8-5. Okay? So women, you came in more generous. Yeah. There was one person that said, besides my parents and most parents in general, most giving, flexible, and generous person I know is my son, which got a point for mom and a point for dad, and then he snuck the son in there. So that's the only thing that really boosted the father's upper. It just would have been a 2-to-1 ratio. So, but I love some of the comments I got. You know, one of the most generous people I knew was my father. He was generous with his time, lots of things. My dad was a Navy man, which I never quite could get into. But my father, I remember he 22 years in the Navy and then lots more years working at a military base in civil service. And my father, all my images of my father in my brain growing up really revolve around my dad in a tie and either blue or navy blue or khaki military uniform. I mean, that was my dad. That's how it all sits. He tells me, yes, when we were in Hawaii, he wore whites, but I was only like 3-4 years old, so I don't remember that at all. I always used to bug him, why can't you wear whites here? Because I thought they were really, really cool looking. And my dad, you know, after he retired from the military, he went to work at civil service, and he would go and put on his, what color? Navy blue suit every day and head into work. And one time, I'm a teenager, and I'm stealing a tie from his thing. I don't know why. I had to wear one to church back in those days. And I'm stealing a tie, and I realize, I'm looking at my dad's closet, and I realize he has 1, 2, 3 navy blue suits. And I'm kind of looking at him, and I'm like, they are all exactly the same. And it kind of struck me, they're all exactly the same. So I remember asking my dad, and I said, Dad, why do you always wear navy blue suits? And he says, well, that's the thing I'm most comfortable with. I like navy blue suits. So I'm most comfortable with that. I said, but Dad, you at least wore khaki when you were in the Navy. So sure enough, about a week later, my dad shows up with a new suit. And guess what color it was? Khaki. So that's what he had. So that's what he was comfortable in. I had somebody comment today, didn't you wear that shirt last week? I said, yeah, I did wear that shirt last week. And I'll probably wear it in another week because I'd like to say that I'm such a generous person that I don't want to spend money on clothing, that I'd much rather just give the money away to the poor. But the truth is, I'm pretty lazy. I know what I like, and I want to be in a comfortable shirt that I know that I like, and at least somebody doesn't laugh at. So that's usually my goal, as those of you who know me in my T-shirts and shorts throughout the week. But I asked you the question. I got some great responses, okay? But, I mean, I love this one. I just absolutely love this. By the way, I'm not going to mention a lot of names except for one right here. because they're not on the island anymore. But I want you to know that some of the most generous people identified are sitting inside this room right now. Pretty cool, huh? Matter of fact, I think, in general, this is a pretty generous congregation of people. It just amazes me sometimes what God does through this little congregation. Okay, I like this one. Lori and Dean Hill, because they extend love and help to so many. Can we agree with that? For those of you that knew Lori and Dean. Here's one of my favorite quotes. My dad was generous with time, money, love, and with encouraging words. He once told me that he thought I was a good mother. No one could have ever said or given me a greater gift. Is that sweet? Just, yeah, I like that. Like this, a comment about one of our congregants here. She says, she is right there with a card of thanks and greeting and does not focus on herself but others. Wow. This is another one. Also, her generosity in her time, fellowship, and wisdom she so willingly gives has been an encouragement to partake in. I'm moved by her example to extend this same generosity to others in my own way. I could go through these things, and it thrills me as I read them to hear this heart. I got to read another dad one, because poor man, we really didn't do that great in here. But my dad, he knew he had received God's mercies and it overflowed. He trusted that God's word is true and gave not only of his treasure, but of his talent and time, from doing people's taxes to fixing their TVs. I want you to know, dads, you didn't do too bad, you know? But matter of fact, you know what came up as number one? Wives. That's the first comment I got last week. Three people on the way out the door last week. My wife is the most generous person I know. I just kind of follow her lead. And I went, yeah, I completely understand that one. And I don't know whether that was because she was standing behind them. Never mind. Hopefully that wasn't the motivation. So, but you have to ask yourself a question. When you think about a generous person, why do you think of them as generous? Now, my dad never had a lot of money, and I don't remember him like going in and giving money to a lot of people. But I always thought of my dad as generous because my dad always took time for people. He always took time for people. And one of my favorite memories of him in his 70s was when he got tired of being retired. He said, "This is boring. This is just flat boring." Now, he could have went out and got 12 different jobs, but what did he decide to do? He went out and got a job as an ombudsman. I always like that word. An ombudsman that would go to high schools and advocate or find out all the ROP students, and then he'd go out to an employers and advocate for ROP, regional occupational training. In other words, these were the students that kind of were almost on the dropout edge, and they would train them up in a trade, and my dad would go out for them, and I thought, all right, real good. He says, "I want a job that has some value and have some meaning in my last decade." I said, okay. And he did. All of us are affected by generosity. Yes? How are you affected by generosity? Have you been affected? I know I have, greatly. I can tell stories all day long about the great things done, but I think my all-time most generous person that affected me early in my life is probably my friend Mark Rittering. He's a guy I talk about occasionally. He's a guy that died of Lou Gehrig's disease. I remember when we decided we were going to go out on missions, we went to Mark and Sue and said, you know, this is our plan, and God's calling us to mercy ships and et cetera, and it's wow, and they were excited for us, and we had three kids, and they had four kids, and we both lived up in Ojai, and it was a wonderful thing. About a week later, they invited us over for dinner, and they looked at us across the table and said, and I remember Mark and Sue sitting there and doing this, going, you know, we thought about how we can best support you guys, and we recognize that, you know, you guys are paying rent, you know, down the road from us. Why don't you guys all just come live with us while you get ready to go to missions? So that was it. It was one giant zoo, let me tell you. You know, seven kids, four adults, and we're in this nice four-bedroom house. It was, unfortunately, the house was pretty big, but boy, that was a zoo. It was a crazy, crazy time. I can tell you about the time, again, I had a need, and I was getting ready to leave, and the person turned around and said, just a minute, let me get you a check. And they went over and got their checkbook and put my name on it and signed it and said, here, fill in the amount. And come on. I could tell story after story after story about this because God has brought generous people into my life again and again. See, but I was trying to think of the unthinkable. What is totally unthinkable generosity? Like, you can't even imagine somebody being that generous. And I started really, like, because I've ran across so much generosity. What in the world could unthinkable generosity look like? And I realized, dude, it stares you in the face all the time. This guy. You go, who the heck is that? Well, if you know me, you've probably heard my story about Pappy Sam. Pappy Sam is in Haiti. Now, he's a young man. His parents were sent to Germany by Hitler, or sent to Poland by Hitler to farm land. Russians came back through, took his parents, and put him and his siblings into East Germany. They escaped out of East Germany, him at 9 years old, made their way to Canada, and developed a life there, Edmonton, Canada. Sam went to school. All of his hardworking siblings all developed a life there along with him. He became an engineer. And then on a missions trip sometime, he went down to Haiti as a young man and basically never left. See, Sam had the ability to do lots of things, but he decided to build orphanages. Sam had the support from people, family and friends, that would come rolling into him over the next 40-plus years. And he decided to give it away. Sam not only gave money, not only gave time, not only gave talent, but now he's struggling because he's getting ready to retire and everybody keeps telling him, you got to take it easy in your retirement. And the idea of leaving the people that he's given his life to is just too much to imagine. So he is the one that I see with unthinkable generosity. And he has this strange woman following him around now trying to learn a little bit about where his unthinkable generosity comes from. So that's my wife, for those of you that don't know, who is definitely up there on my list of unthinkably generous people. But you know, even Sam falls short of unthinkably generous. I want you to turn in your Bibles, and yes, I make you open Bibles, and yes, it will be up on the board, and yes, you could just sit there with your hands in your lap and not open up a Bible. But you know what happens when you do that? Is you don't get to see what else God would tell you around the Bible verse that I'm going to talk about. See, because God speaks to each one of us individually, not just to everybody in one particular verse. So I would urge you to find your Bible, turn to the New Testament, Old and New Testament, and if you don't know, it's about that far through the Bible, okay? And if you would turn to Romans and you would turn to the 5th chapter, and yes, I'm going to ask people to read things as I go through different scriptures. And I will bounce around a little bit in Scripture. Unthinkable generosity. My dear friend Steve, have you found Romans 8 yet? Or Romans 5 yet? I'm sorry. Yes, sir? Would you read verses 6, 7, and 8, please?
Love for us in this. While you were still a what?
That cross didn't happen because of anything you did. Okay, someone try and explain to me, besides unthinkable generosity, why after the fall of the garden, he just didn't go, poof, I'm going to go build a new one. Unthinkable generosity. I can't understand it. Makes no sense to me. Jump on over to John.
Just got to back up a little bit. Jump on over to John, the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter. John, the 12th chapter.
And I'm actually going to start in the 23rd verse. I put 24 up on the board. You'll see in a minute. I'm going to start in the 23rd because God spoke to me separately after I had this all together and said, no, 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 you've missed a verse. So he's telling you to look around there somewhere. Look around. Jesus said this. The hour has come for the Son of the Man to be glorified. Okay. Da-da-da. Glorified. He didn't say it's come for my hour to be sacrificed. It's come for my hour to be killed. It's come to my hour to suffer and to die, to rise again. He said, it's come to my hour to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Who does the Father honor? One who serves me. When he was on the cross, what was he in his own mind? He was glorified. Oh my gosh, get a grip on that. Come on, don't just take the words. Think of the emotion. How do you go to the ultimate torture with the attitude of, it's time to be glorified? Unthinkable. Totally unthinkable. And who he's doing it for? Unthinkable. Unthinkable generosity. We so often equate generosity with money. Sometimes I feel like whenever I start a sermon that's got generosity or anything else, and someone's trying to figure out, you know, how much money does he want? Okay? That's not what this is about. Oh, no. No, 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 no. Not there at all. Jesus told a story. Well, we take it as a story, about the widow's mite. Now, I wish that I had had this answer earlier, and Ron, I'm really going to let you give it because I'm just going to lose it. So I asked Ron earlier, I said, what is a widow's mite? And Ron gave me the complete answer, which I thought it had something to do with the Greek, but it is, Ron. So a mite was a really itty-bitty coin back in the King James days, when we had the Bible that had lots of ths in it and thee and thous and thys. And there's still nothing wrong with the King James. It's just language changes. But mite has stayed there. But you can say the widow's two cents. How's that sound? Okay. So let's read that. Go to Mark 12. Mark, that's a little bit back from John where you were at.
Go to Mark 12. Excuse me. I lost my water. Oh, there it is. Okay, Mark 12. Who has and is willing to read it? There he is. Gary, good to see you. Don't you like that parable? Except there's a problem with it. What's the problem with it? What? It's not a parable. This is his observation. He looked around and he watched people come in with money and, I don't know, offering whatever they used back then. And I'm sure some people came in with a big show with a gold bag and dropped it down and stuff. And he looked, he says, you want to see what unthinkable generosity looks like? Here's what it looks like. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything that she had to give. Wow. Now, he calls this He says in verse 43, he says, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. More into the treasury. I don't know about his math, but 2 cents, last I checked, is not more than much of anything in the treasury. Jesus has got a different math there than we do. Doesn't he? What is the treasury that her mites went into? Heaven, where we store up treasure. See, the widow understood something that we so often forget. Who, this is a question, you got to reach down deep in your brain to find the answer to a question. Who is the defender of the widows and orphans? Come on, reach into your Bible knowledge, give me an answer. Who? God is the defender of the widows and orphans. Who provides everything that you have? And do you really believe that? God provided all that? Really? Who can do greater and more abundantly for you than anybody else can do? God, we're back to God again. See, she knew that. So Jesus, when he looked and he saw this widow, and she's dropped these 2 cents in, and he knew that was everything that she had to live. What did I say? Everything that she had to live on? And she dropped that 2 cents in there. He went, yeah, that's it. That's it. This is what I want. This is what I want to see. Wow, does she store up heaven? I can't do that. Okay, I don't know how to do that. One of our teachers that we run on a regular basis is the Blessed Life. It's Robert Morris out of Gateway Church, and I think one of the reasons that his videos are so powerful, and every time we do it, there's all of a sudden this spike and increase in giving and etc. I think it's because Robert doesn't hesitate to tell his own story of what God did with him. How he was forced to give away vehicles. Well, first he spends a while telling how God revealed his own hypocrisy to himself. But then started to give away vehicles. But the one that always stirs my soul when I listen to it is how God told him to give everything away. His retirement, his savings, his current income, his home, his car, and said, I want you and your wife to give everything away.
And he went, you say what? But he did it. And he has been blessed and prospered ever since that time. Now, am I telling you all to give something away? No, because I can't tell you a darn thing. Only God can tell you something, right? Right? If you're listening to me telling you to give everything away, then you're listening to the wrong person. If God tells you to do it, you better make sure you're listening to the right person. Let me turn with you to Romans 8. Okay, we can find Romans. That's up in front of where you were in John and Mark. And we're going to come forward a little bit in the Bible. And we're going to find Romans 8. And I have, by the way, I was pointed out that, yes, I can find Romans because I have little cheaty tabs that I put in last night. So I have my little color-coded cheaty tabs. So I'm a little faster than you are. Let's see. We're going to go to Romans 8. Unable at first to understand what the Spirit was telling her, the freedom that he was offering appeared to bring bondage. Afraid that following the Spirit's leading would somehow be bad. That's normal. And that's human. It's the way we are. See, but she came to a fuller understanding of what Galatians 5:1 says. Put Galatians up there for me. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. In this context, Paul is talking about the religious laws that were burdening people. But this applies so much. When God tells us to let go, why do we keep running back to it? When we know that money's not the solution, why do we keep running back to it? Like it's going to solve our problems, like it's going to fix everything. Why do we always think, if only I was more talented, if only I had more education, if only I had more time, if only, if only, if only. See, Christ sets you free so you would be free. We have the freedom to be generous because you are in Christ. He shows us that path. A generous person plans, follows a path to be generous because they are free to be generous. Does that mean that the widow who put her mite in had all the money that she needed? No, yes. No, yeah, no, no. Was she given out of her abundance? Where's the right answer in that? Yeah, she knew that God could provide abundantly more than she could possibly imagine. And you know it too. But darn it, it's so hard to live like it. See, but God has a path, he has a plan, he has a way. And why I'm doing this generous series, really simply, is to talk to you about God's plan, okay? But I want you to discover that more than I want to tell you. Here's the formula that you need to follow, because you should not be burdened by religious law again. And just understand that. I don't want you going there. Instead, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Corinthians is a little past Romans there, if you're still sitting in Romans. And I really want you to turn to this because I want you to absorb it. I want you to take it in. I want you to breathe it deep. I want you to let the Spirit speak to you as His Word speaks to you. I don't want to embellish it a lot, although I'll probably do so with voice inflection, etc. But I'm going to read it to you without a lot of commentary. Because I want you to hear what He is saying to you personally. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously
will also reap generously. This is 9:6, if I didn't get you all the way there. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace that God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his unthinkable, indescribable generosity. He loves you. He loves you. He cares for you. He loves you. We face daily the question of how we respond to God's unthinkable generosity, how we respond to his love. We face this every single day of our lives. For Renee, she realized that one of the first things they had to go was a bad relationship. Wow. Ow. Relationships are hard to get past. I almost think it's easier to give up 75% of my money than it is to give up a bad relationship. See, he has a plan, though, for you that we will explore over the next few weeks. And you'll have the choice. You can follow his plan, or you can follow your own plan. He never forces us. He always lets us find our own way. I'm going to begin closing up here with a little video that I think you'll enjoy, as it speaks truth to you.